The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You're tuned into Thursday's edition of the podcast, where we have racing from Toaster, the William Hill sponsored day over at Toaster. There's also action at Suttle and Wincanton in the day, Wolverhampton in the evening, and there's a meeting over in Ireland from Thurles as well. So plenty to look forward to on Thursday. A real mixed bag, something for everyone. McNaughton, Chris Pimlott and James Millman will be in the studio from 1:25 p.m. where you'll hear it all live. But for the meantime, my name is Sam Norris, and joining me on today's podcast to take a look at some of Thursday's action is Rory Delaghi. How are you today, Rory?
I'm not at all bad, Sam, thank you.
Good stuff, good to hear. As I say, a little bit of something for everyone tomorrow, isn't there, on Thursday?
Yeah, big fields, which is nice to see at this time of the year. It's often the periods post-Christmas running up to the Cheltenham Festival tends to be not an awful lot happening, and it's something that maybe needs to be looked at to a degree, but you can see why the programme takes a little bit of a downturn, with a lot of trainers not wanting to run their better horses on really bad ground in January and February. But what we lack in quality to a degree, we make up for in terms of numbers. And of course, there are some interesting young horses coming through. Decent cards at both Wincanton and Toaster tomorrow, and all-weather action from a couple of the tracks tomorrow, including Suttle.
Yes, yeah, there is a real mixed bag and plenty to look forward to. We'll just touch on the news then before we move on to some of Thursday's action. And obviously, as you'd expect, what are we, six weeks away now from Cheltenham? Is pretty much Cheltenham dominated in the news. And Jessica Harrington, interesting this morning in the paper, still pretty sweet on Jessica's chances for the champion hurdle. We saw him clash heads again with Hurricane Fly at Leopardstown at the weekend. Mistake at the last cost it second place, ended up finishing third. Would you concur with Jessica Harrington?
Well, he's following a similar pattern to last year. He went into last year's champion hurdle, having been beaten a couple of times by Hurricane Fly, and turned that form around. And you could perfectly understand Jessica Harrington's viewpoint that he seems to run, well, he certainly seemed to raise his game at Cheltenham last year on quicker ground, and that clearly suits him very well. There's a slight question as to whether he fires, especially for Barry Geraghty, and that might be an interesting debate going into the champion hurdle. Certainly, with Tony McCoy riding my tender years at the festival last year, Barry came in for the ride again, and Jessica goes exceptionally well for him, better than anyone else, I would say. But the chances are that McCoy will be on board him. It'd be very unusual to see him jocked off, essentially, in favour of Barry Geraghty. And, of course, Barry will be in line for other rides in the race as well. So that makes it interesting. But he did it last year. He deserves full credit for that. And with the ground liable to ride quick, and the fact that he tends to come into his own in the spring as well, that should suit him.
Yeah, fair enough. And potentially a real coup for Paul Townend, who could, looks likely that he is going to get the ride on Hurricane Fly, with Ruby Walsh looking certain to take for him.
Yeah, a lot of debate raging immediately after the Irish champion hurdle as to who Ruby Walsh would choose come the Cheltenham Festival. I think for all that Hurricane Fly has been, I don't want to call him an absolute star, because you use that comment about lots of horses. Yeah. He's an absolute legend. He's one of the greatest hurdlers we've ever seen, without the shadow of a doubt. And arguably, with that fifth Irish champion hurdle, he can easily be argued as the greatest hurdler of all time, and I'd be happy to put that argument forward. But Cheltenham is a different matter altogether. He's never seemed that happy travelling. And although he's won two champion hurdles, that's because he is an outstanding hurdler. He didn't look entirely happy last year. And then when he was beaten in the race a couple of seasons before that, he again looked to the trip over, seemed to take a little bit out of him. He didn't seem his usual self, and he didn't fire, absolutely. There's a chance that that Ruby would like to ride both of them, which he clearly can't do in the day. I have a feeling that Ruby might be whispering in Willie's ear, Willie, it might be an idea maybe not to go for the champion at all with Hurricane Fly. Keep him fresh for Punchestown. Go out on a high. You know, they were talking earlier in the season, because when a horse reaches his age, you don't know whether they're going to retain all their ability.
Yeah.
And you don't want to see a horse like Hurricane Fly getting beaten up by horses he would have beaten last year. So there was always talk early in the season that they'd run him and see where they stood with him, and if he disappointed first time or he didn't seem to be quite the horse he was, they'd retire him fairly quickly. He's I think he's surprised us all to a degree by looking every bit as good as he's ever been this season, despite the fact that he's turned 11. You know, if he could win again at Punchestown in the spring, well, if he could win at Cheltenham next month, it would take the roof off the stand. It'd be the single greatest performance in terms of headlines that we've seen there since the days of Arkell. But it might be asking a little bit much, and Faugheen surely would be Ruby's number one choice. It seems a little bit of a no-brainer. Ruby's a man who loves his horses, but he's never led by that kind of emotion.
Yeah, sure.
He's led by a desire to win the big races. Yeah. So he's going to ride the favourite.
Okay, yeah, fair enough then. All very interesting. Yeah, we look forward to them clashing again come March time. Just another bit of Cheltenham news before we move on to Thursday's racing then. Undersow's chances in the champion chase being talked up this morning in the paper by AP McCoy, who obviously finished behind him at the weekend. The Arkell will remain the priority, but would he have a chance if it was to run the Queen Mother?
He'd have a big chance. We don't know exactly where we stand with either Sprinter Sacra or Sire de Grugy at this stage, are the two outstanding 2 mile chasers at the moment. He's better class than Dodging Bullets, quite frankly, who's sitting at a strong third favourite for the race at the moment. If he went that route, he may well start favourite for the race. I think he probably would start favourite for the race, depending on what happens in the game spirit, obviously, next month. And Sire de Grugy, if he comes back to his best and wins that race well, then he will become a warm favourite for the champion chase, which he won last season. But Undersow, without the shadow of a doubt in my mind, and people will always do this with novices, what's he beaten so far? He's been given an easy lead in his races. Well, that's not strictly true. He's a horse with an enormous stride and a free-rolling way of going about him. I don't think any horse could lead him, quite frankly. And unlike a lot of top-class hurdlers who go chasing and have to adapt their style to jump fences and, you know, end up being nearly as good or something around that, he gives the impression that even though he was champion hurdle class over hurdles, and a lot of people thought he might have had a big chance had he gone to Cheltenham in March for that, he looks better over fences because he really seems suited by the demands of jumping a fence. He's always had a lot of scope about him anyway over hurdles, and he just gobbles fences up, which makes him a better horse in this sphere than he was as a hurdler. A lot of people will say, you know, we'll point to the races he's running and say it's difficult to tell how good that form is, but the pair he beat at Leverstown the weekend, either of those would have been favourite for the Arkell without him, quite frankly. So he's destroyed them without coming off the bridle. People tend to be a little bit confused about small field form and suggest it could be muddling. That isn't muddling form. That's top class form. And it's form that gives him a chance in the champion chase. It's not Willie Mullins' way of doing things, but he's probably got a horse good enough to win the Arkell in the shape of Vautour anyway.
Yeah, sure.
For me, it would potentially make sense if he went that route. Don't expect the decision to be made until very late in the day, though.
Okay.
Although they'd have to supplement him, but they didn't actually put him in the race
in the first place.
So you do have to see him being supplemented for the race. But if he is, then it's the kind of decision Willie will work all the horses. If Vautour works brilliantly and looks like he could win an Arkell, and Undersow shows the same form he's been showing this season, then Willie could easily just switch the pair of them from different races. Right. It makes anti-post betting difficult because all Willie's horses could end up running in a whole series of races depending on who's pleasing him most, and he moves them around like chess pieces. You're getting non-runner no bet shortly on most of the races, but the way Willie works means you won't know a lot of those answers until the Monday before.
All right, fair enough then. We absolutely look forward to that then as it comes around. We'll take a quick look then at some of Thursday's racing now. As I mentioned, we've got the William Hill sponsored card at Toaster, as well as Suttle, Wincanton, Wolverhampton and Thurles on Thursday. The first race we've picked out comes from Suttle. It's the first of the day over on the all weather there, and it's a handicap over 5 furlong class 6 contest with 12 of them lining up to go to post. Who catches the eye here, Rory?
Two horses count in this, if I've read it correctly, and those horses are Electric Qatar and Very First Blade, and the choice from me will be Very First Blade. I have a feeling Electric Qatar might start favourite for this from Mick Appleby. The Appleby horse is always very well supported at Suttle. Had another winner on the card yesterday, was well supported, who he'd recently picked up from another yard and immediately improved. Electric Qatar was a horse with a big reputation early in his career for Tom Dascombe. Rather disappointing overall, despite winning a few races. He disappointed in terms of how well supported he was for a few races. But he has won over course and distance. And he looked on the way back on his first start for this yard, having moved again in the interim. I think he was with Alan McCabe and then moved on to make Appleby for his latest run. It was a solid performance. He needs more to win this, but he is reasonably well drawn in stall six. So quite a long way away from the unfavoured stands, really. If you're stuck near the stand side or 5 furlongs at Southall, you've got no chance of winning. So one or two who you give chances from high draws, you're probably better keeping your money until next time they run. But Electric Qatar in stall six will probably bounce out and try to make the running. But the danger to him and the horse that I'm going to go for is Very First Blade, who was beaten a nose here last week. A very unlucky loser in the day, beaten by Caddo Pearl on the Nord. He got himself to the front, got past Caddo Pearl, fought on well, and was done on the bob. He was in front again after the line, in front half a stride before the line. So he gets in here on the same mark. He's drawn in stall one. Stall one is a massive positive in races over 5 furlongs on the fibre sand, and it's got a terrific strike rate. You're away from any interference from horses on your left. You're away from any kickback if you've got a bit of early speed. And Very First Blade made most of the running over 6 furlongs last time out. He's also a course and distance winner. Got the speed to take a handy position. Probably won't lead Electric Qatar, but as long as he isn't forced very far to the inside rail, then I think he's got a great chance. That is a slight possibility that Luke Morris and Electric Qatar will come out of stall six and try to move a little bit to the ideal position. But for me, Very First Blade, likely to be a bigger price than the Appleby runner, is the one to be on here. And I would also have a reverse forecast. I think those two will dominate. I don't think anything else will show in the first two places other than those two from the start of the race.
Okay, fair enough. Very First Blade then, number 11, is the pick in the 2 o'clock at Southall for Rory. We'll move on then to the next race on the card from Southall. This one, a 6 furlong handicap classics contest with 7 of them lining up to go to post. And Caddo Pearl, who you mentioned when discussing the last race, lines up here on the back of that win, as does Risk and Reward also here off the back of a win. We expect them pair to lead the market. Does it look like it's going to be between those two? Or is anything else caught the eye?
No, I'm going to make this fairly simple. Caddo Pearl won very narrowly from Very First Blade last time out and deserves respect for that over the same course and distance. He's gone up £3 in the handicap. That might just be enough to stop him winning again. Certainly, he was in front only for a whisker of that race. Got up with a very... he probably led briefly halfway through the race and then got back up in front of the line, but would have been done again shortly afterwards, I think. I still expect him to run a respectable race, but Risk and Reward was a very easy winner yesterday over 7 furlongs on his debut for David O'Mara. He's a very lightly raced horse. He'd improved on his previous start, his only run for Martin Smith on the turf at Yarmouth, immediately carried that improvement forward on his first start for a new yard over 7 furlongs when he reeled in a prominently ridden front runner and one with a bit to spare. He carries a mandatory penalty for that, but he looks like a horse who's going to progress markedly now that he's found his niche, and he's with a yard who knows how to place him to run up a sequence. So I suspect the handicapper will give him more than a £6 rise for that win, and it's interesting that David O'Mara is keen to strike while the iron's hot with him. So probably a short price, Risk and Reward, but has plenty going for him.
Okay, Risk and Reward then for Rory backing him to complete a double. The final race then on Thursday's podcast comes at 3:10 from Wincanton. This one is an extended 2.5 mile trip, a class 3 contest with 11 of them going down to post. Who gets the selection here?
Selection here is Cloudy Bob for Pat Murphy and Jamie Moore. Hopefully you get a decent price about Cloudy Bob as well. Well beaten on his last couple of starts, but has shaped a lot better than the bear result both times. 2 starts ago at Kempton, behind Balan Varig, he looked a big threat with 3 fences to jump and just patently failed to stay the 3 miles there. He was then dropped back marginally in trip in a competitive televised handicap chase at Ascot last time out, but met trouble in running, held up at the back of the field, and couldn't get back into the contest from there. But still wasn't given a hard time by his rider that day. Give the impression he was still in very good form. The extended 2.5 miles at Wincanton, I would say, is absolutely ideal for him in terms of conditions. Handicap has dropped him £1 for that run, which is the icing on the cake, really, for me. And in what looks a competitive race on paper, he should be an each-way price, and I would be stunned if he's out of the money.
Okay, fair enough then, Cloudy Bob. In the 3:10 at Wincanton, there, the selections for Rory Delaghi on Thursday. If you could just remind us, please, one more time of your three best picks for Thursday's racing.
Yeah, 2 o'clock at Southall, very first blade. In the 2:30 there, Risk and Rewards. And finally, in the 3:10 at Wincanton, Cloudy Bob.
Excellent stuff. There we are then, Rory Delaghi providing his best selections for Thursday's racing. And you'll hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:25 p.m. Mick Norton, Chris Pimrat and James Millman will be in the studio to guide you through all the action from the William Hill-sponsored Toaster card, as well as Southall and Wincanton in the afternoon, Wolverhampton in the evening. There's an Irish card from Thurles as well. So do make sure you join us from 1:25 on Thursday for all of that. Thank you very much for joining me today, Rory, and good luck with your selections on Thursday.
Thank you very much indeed.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.